Be'ez Hashem Yisbach, we begin Perek Shmini, the eighth Perek, the eighth chapter in the Ram, is Hilchos becoming the laws of the first fruits in the Seba Zeraim, which we are in the second half of regarding that of Chala, which is related to that Bekurim that they're both called Truma. And this Perek Ram discussed regarding the making of the dough in regards to its obligation of Chala. Halacha after Ram opens up regarding the time when it's possible to separate the Chala from the dough, which is given to the Kohen, one of the 24 gifts of Matan Zekuna. Hamafresh Chala Sekemach. Let's say someone separates the Chala, the portion that goes to the Kohen, when it's flour. Then in the challah, it's not going to be considered as the portion of matnas kun of challah because it says in the Torah, arisa sechem, your dough, not when it's still flour. And therefore, the gazel biyad kain is considered theft in the hands of the kain, which he has to give it back to the owner of the flour. Ushari isa chayves b'chal, and the rest of the dough is going to be obligated still in challah. And v'oisa kemach shehifish l'shem challah, and that flour, which he had designated as challah, which is not significant, im yesh by oimer, if it has the measurement of an oimer, which is the shear of challah, v'oiseu isa, and he makes it into dough, so he has to separate from it challah like all other mundane flowers. In other words, this challah is forbidden to Zarm and Atayra because originally it was separated from flour, which again was not considered significant. Now, halacha base, imose mafrish challah, so then when can you start separating challah? When you put in the water, and the flour mixes with the water, then you separate the challah from the beginning parts that starts getting kneaded. In other words, it shouldn't be separated from that which you have part of the flour that wasn't mixed with the water. From the beginning, that which started to knead, that is what you separate the challah from. Shem, like it says in the pasuk, the first of your dough, and therefore that's where you separate the challah from. Now, but who? But stipulating that as long as it's not left over there in the kneading bowl, that you don't have some flour that wasn't mixed with water, the amount of an omer. So since it's less than that amount, which doesn't have a shir challah on its own, so it's not significant, then it would combine with the flour that was already mixed with the water, and it would be included in arisa seichem. But if again, if it had that much flour, which wasn't mixed, that has its own shir on its own, then you can't do challah. Now if imam, let's say he says, harezu challah, I want this to be challah ala isa, on the dough, vala sa'aret, and on the yeast, vala kemach shenashtar, and on the flour that was left over, ule gishli asa kuli isa achas, and then when it's all going to become one dough, because they didn't finish it, it's not mixed well yet. This that he has in his hand should be sanctified as challah. Okay, then harizah muta then is going to be permitted, and that's not considered as if he's separating something that's shalei b'la'olim, as if it didn't come to the world yet, because since it's in his hand to be able to mix the flour and the water and to obligate in challah, so it's like it's already here, and by saying the designation that it's going to be valid as hafrashas of challah. Look at Gimel. Hanecha isa, let's say he left the dough, at shalosh hakol ve'erva, until he kneaded the whole thing, and that he mixed it together, and then he separated the challah. So there's nothing problematic with that. In other words, it's going to be a valid challah, even though he violated what the Chacham said, as we said in the previous halacha, that really is supposed to separate it from the moment that you mix the water with the flour, and not wait till you finish the whole kneading. But after the fact, that's not going to be a problem. Now, v'im lahifrish hachala batzik. And let's say you didn't even separate the challah when there was dough. Elof hakol, rather you baked it all? Okay, I raise a mafresh from the past, then you'll separate challah from the bread. K'mesh b'yan, like already explained in Perek Vav, at the end of halacha design. Now, Alokha Dad Ram discusses the time when a person is obligated to separate the challah from the dough. So, may I say to schay ve'isa b'challah? Before we spoke about when can you, now, when is the dough obligated to separate from it, me'ikar adin, the challah? So, it's mishtiskalgal b'chitim, it's when you are rolling the wheat, v'sarva kemach b'mayim, and you mix the flour in the water, in other words, the whole flour, and you don't have any flour that's not mixed together. Which that means to say that it becomes all connected like into one mass. By barley, which mixes differently than that of wheat. But the asakulu govecha, it's made into one unit. That's when the obligation is for separating challah. Now, however, one's allowed a snack from the dough, before it reaches that rolling stage of the wheat and that of becoming one mass by barley. Then you could, up until that point, you could snack. And vakusmin is kechitim, which we said different stages regarding wheat and barley. So spelt is like wheat, bishabashul vahashif and kisarim, and oats and rye are like barley. Halacha hey, let's say niskalgal bechitim, let's say you rolled it regarding the wheat, or even the tam de besayim, or you made it to one mass by the barley. So ichel menekun hefeshchal, which that you're not allowed to even snack from already. So ichel menekun hefeshchal, if someone eats from it before he separates challah, chayiv misa, he's liable for misa b'dei shemayim, death through natural means, nishi tavel, because it's considered untithed produce, because challah is also called truma. The fikach, therefore, if the dough was biblically obligated in challah, So if he gets a warning, whoever eats from it, he gets lashes. Like anyone eats untied produce. Let's say it was only rabbinically obligated challah. So the makanas and makasmatas were given the rabbinic lashes. Halacha vav, isa shenid ma'a. Regarding dough that was mixed in with truma, actually to skalgal, so if it wasn't yet rolled, which is again is the time when it becomes obligated, so betura. So it's being exempt because meduma is patra from challah, as we said in Perek Vav. And this was already meduma before the time of the obligation of challah. But let's say mishat skalgal, let's say truma was only mixed in to this dough after it already rolled, oh, then chayev is going to be obligated in challah because at the time of the gilgal, it wasn't exempt yet, and therefore it's not going to remove that obligation. Although ultimately, subsequently, it was mixed with truma. And someone sanctifies his dough, so he declares it ownless. So, if he did it before it was rolled, and he redeemed it, or he married it back, let's say, when he made it a hefker. And only then, subsequently, did he roll it. Now, but if let's say during the time when he rolled it, it was hefker hekdesh, then it would be pater, because of what we're going to shortly say. But at the time when he rolled it, it was back his again. Or let's say, hikdisha, or hefker, let's say he only sanctified or made it hefker only after it was rolled. And then he redeemed it or married it back. And then, again, in these cases, you can be chayiv and chala because at the time when you rolled it, it was in your possession. And the subsequent hekdesh or hefker cannot remove the obligation of chala that was already there when you had rolled it. Halacha zayin, hekdesh koidim shediskalgal. Now, let's say it was sanctified before he rolled it. And the skalgal be'ad hekdesh and it was rolled when it was in the domain of hekdesh. And only then, but only then afterwards did he redeem it. Then, betura, then it's going to be exempt because it says, Arisa Seichem, your dough, and not the dough of a Gentile, and not the dough of Hekdesh, and not if it's not your dough at all, but rather that of Hefker. And the reason is, Shabashas Chevoy says, betura, because at the time of its obligation, which is when it's being rolled as a dough, then it was not obligated, and therefore it's going to be potter. Halacha Ches, Bechay Nachri, so to let's say a Gentile, Shanasan Yisrael, Lasas Leisa, gives it to a Jew to make a dough for him. When the son Libimatana, Ashley Gilgal, and he gives it to him as a gift. Before it was rolled, well, it's going to be obligated because the time it was rolled, it was the Jew's dough because he got it as a gift. Now, Mishnah Gugla, if he only gave it to him after it was already rolled, again, Patur is going to be exempt because the time it was rolled, it was the dough of a Gentile, which the dough of a Gentile is exempt, like we said in Perek Vav. Halacha Taz, Gershon is Geir. Voice Isa, let's say a Gentile, he converted to Judaism. Voice Isa, and he had a dough. Now, Nisgalgal, actually, Nisgalgal, if it was already rolled before he converted, well, Patur, it's exempt, because at that time he was Gentile. From Nisgalgal, if he only rolled it after he converted, the Chayiv is going to be obligated. From Suffolk, let's say we don't know, Chayiv is Mechala, then it's going to be obligated. Chala, Lefisha, Oven Misa, because it's a penalty of death, that type of a sin. Therefore, we have to be stringent, Luchumra. Now, but Vizorsha, Ochel Chala, Suffolk, Zuba, but if a non-coin eats this doubtful Chala, or things similar like that, in Chayiv al Chaymish, it's not going to be obligated in the penalty of a Chaymish, because it's only when it's definitive, not when it's doubtful. Loch Yud, the Ram continues regarding the purity of the dough. So Isa shenol basveg tuma koidim shadisgalgal. So you have a dough that developed a doubtful tuma before it was rolled. Now, since this dough before it's rolled, as we said previously, has halacha like chulin, so obviously we're talking about where it's such a doubt that would make it tuma even if it was chulin, because if it would be a doubt that would not make it a problem for chulin, only for truma, then it would not be permitted. We're about to say that you would make it in the state of tuma, because it was not tummy at all, and you're not allowed to make it tummy. You're only allowed to maybe cause it to become tummy, as the Rambam says in Perek Zayin. So we're talking about here where you have a doubt regarding a tuma that would even make a problem of tuma for chulin, and it's before it was rolled. So the halacha is yasena b'tuma. In other words, you should make it in the state of tuma even after that it's rolled. Because since it has a suffix of tumma, that would be a problem of making a tumma even for chulin. So it's permitted to make it in a state of tumma, because only chala and truma that have a suffix of tumma, it's forbidden to make a tumma. But now when you have chulin, which is only untithed for the chala inside of it. And the reason is, like the Rambam says, lefisha mutl tam chulin shem Eretz Yisrael. You're allowed to make chulin of Eretz Yisrael tumma, even though inside over here is chala, because it has a tumma over here, misafik. Now, so you'll make the dough in the state of tuma, and then mitisar of chalasa. So then you have to burn the challah that you separate, like all challah that becomes tuma. Now, but let's say this was all if you had a suffix of tuma before you rolled it. Let's say noyla achar shenis galgal svektum. Let's say before it was rolled, there was no tuma. After it was rolled, which is the time already obligated in the challah, was a svek tuma, a doubtful tuma developed in it. Shevad, and what type of doubtful tuma? Shevado mitamez chul natari, that the definite of such a tuma would be metama chulin biblically, which is the type of dough that it is right now, before you separate the challah. So then you can marry in the betahara. Okay, we're talking about safek tumah. So before in safek tumah, okay, you could even do it in the state of tumah. In this case, no. Maintain purity for when you're finishing the dough. The reason for that is shekol shavado metames achulin, because whatever in its definite state would be metam lechulin, which is what we're discussing. Gazru al sveikoi, they decreed regarding a situation of doubt, like we're discussing, bechulin hatvun lechala, regarding the mundane produce which is untaif lechala, which is the case we're discussing, and that halacha was shlei tamo esim, that they should not make it tame, and therefore again you have to make sure to do it in the state of purity. And why? Didn't we say it's chulin, and therefore you could do it in the state of tuma even there it's all? No, because ha'il v'nitpalu l'chala, since ultimately it's untaif v'chala, and it's like the chala is inside over here, and we know chala y'nal do in the state of tuma, so here they said that you have to do it in the state of purity. Now, v'tia chala t'lui, but ultimately the chala is going to be suspended, meaning, lein chala is you can't eat the chala that you ultimately separate, because maybe it was tummy, we don't know it was a savak tuma, and the kain who would eat it would violate a positive commandment. But the line of neither do you burn it because maybe it's tar. So it remains in a suspended state. A person should not make his dough initially in a state of tumma. Eliezer, rather, he should be careful that it should not come close to tumma. He should put in all his effort. If it does become tumme, that him and his vessels should be purified to make sure that when he separates the chala, it should be pure. Now, but let's say between him and the water, the mikveh that he wants to purify him, his vessels, that he should do in the state of purity, is yasa'al 4 mil, more than 4 mil, then he has no obligation to go ahead and purify to make sure it's done in the state of purity. Rather, he has sin betumah, then he can do it in the state of tumah, and again, then v'yafesh chal tumah, then he can separate the chal in the state of tumah, and then it'll be given to the kain to burn it as fuel, but again, he can't eat it because it's like truma tumah. Halacha beis Rambam continues regarding the chala of anama oretz. So, ain't there some chalas ama oretz? Specifically, we're talking about the chala. You cannot make the chala of ama oretz bitahara in a state of purity to like him presume that this is good chala. Aval oisim isas chulin bitahara, but you can make his dough of chulin in a state of tahara. Ketzas Rambam explains how so. It specifically has to be that you got it when it was still the making of the dough, not the making of the bread. Megabali eats a chaba. So the one who's going to be making the dough, kneading it, should be a tamal chacham. And so he got it before he's able to become tummy, because it only becomes tummy when it's turned into a dough. Umafish meni kedei chala. So he'll separate the amount of chala. Umanich, he'll put it beklei glalim, beklei avonim, beklei adama, into dungware vessels, or into stoneware vessels, or into earthware vessels. Shemekam tum, which these types of vessels don't contract tuma. And therefore, if the amort is holding it from the outside, it's not going to make a tummy. And when the ignoramus comes to collect his dough, he'll take both of them, as the isav as the challah, the one that has his dough that he's going to eat, and the challah, which goes to the kohen. Normally they tell him, Hizor, be careful, don't touch the challah. Obviously the dough he's taking for himself, but the challah don't touch. Because it might go back and become untithed again. Which the truth is, that's just an intimidation tactic, that he doesn't want it to get undone because he's trying to fix it. Because the truth is, it does not become back tevel, even if he makes a tummy. But we just don't want them to make a tummy because we're supposed to maintain the purity of the challah. But as long as the chaver made it into dough, in contrast, it was ready dough, then we already presume it's tummy. He cannot now make it, so to speak, in the state of tara when it was ready tummy for nama arts. Now the question is, why did they permit this? In other words, that specifically in the way that the tama chacham is separating the challah and he's warning the amarats not to touch it, because then it's only causing him to have his chulin become tummy, which that's permitted. Why do we permit this to be done? And the reason is, mishum kedei chayiv shel gabel, it's for the livelihood of the one who kneads the dough, because if we're not going to let him knead the doughs of amaratzim because of concerns of making things tummy, he would lose his business, and therefore they allowed, as long as he's making the dough, then it's permitted to do it in a state of tahar. Halacha gimel, related to this idea of not assisting someone making that of in the state of impurity or in sin, is eshes chaver. The wife of a tamal chacham, merakedes, she could sift, obededes, and she could select im eshes tamal arts together with the wife of an ignoramus, meaning we're not concerned as if she's assisting her to do any averis, because most of amaratzim do take off maestras. Abo, mishatat l'mayim be'isa, but once the water is put into the dough, which now the dough could be mekabel tuma, then loy tesayer isa, then she should not assist the wife of tamal arts. Because she's going to make her dough in the state of tumah, which we say did not do, as we say in Halacha Yiralf. So she can't assist her anymore because it's called misayel, she's assisting her in sin. So let's say there's a baker who does since he's Am Haaretz, he makes his dough in the state of Tumah, because we presume the Amaratzim are Tumah. So you're not allowed to knead the dough with him, you can't be his employee and work for him, or to go ahead and shape it with him. Now, you could do sifting and selecting, because of ways of peace, like we said regarding the wife of Am Haaretz, but you can't do the kneading part, because we said we cannot strengthen the hands of the sinners who are doing this wrong, because they're in the state of Tumah, and you now make your dough in the state of Tumah because of the challah that's going to come out. What you could do, you could transport with him the bread to the bakery, because that's not assisting in sin, but whatever is sinful, you're not allowed to assist. If someone buys from a baker who is ignoramus in Syria, and the baker tells him, he says, oh, don't worry, I already took off challah. So in the challah, you don't have to separate challah out of doubt. The reason for that is, just like every Jewish person, even Maratzim, they're not concerned, we're not concerned, there was no halacha of demai said on Truma Gedayla, because that's something that's very severe, because it's Truma, and there's a Chiyav and Misa, and therefore for sure they separated. Kachle Nechshtu B'Suri Al-Khala Sutu in Syria, they're not suspect regarding that of not having separated Chala, because, again, there's no biblical measurement, and we're not concerned that he wouldn't have separated the Chala. Now halacha Tezvav, Halakech B'chutz Lo'etz Min Anachtim, let's say someone buys out of Eretz Yisrael, from a baker who is Nama Oretz, then you have to separate Chala out of doubt because of a concern that maybe he's not concerned about Lifnei Iver and he's going to be selling him that without Chala take it. Now, but if someone buys from a regular homeowner who is Nama Oretz, and then you don't have to say Hamasareich Hatzloyet, or if someone's a guest by him, that in a tzarech lahavish chal mesavik, then you don't have to separate challah out of doubt, even the chutzlords, because most definitely that he took off from what he's giving him to eat, and he's not suspect regarding challah. It's only when you're buying from a baker, then you have to separate, because you're suspecting that maybe he would cause him to stumble, and he wouldn't be concerned for the lav of lifnei iver l'sid mishal, that he's giving to his consumers that which did not have challah separated from it.